Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Today, we are going to take a look at Mercury's retrograde in the sign of Aries. This is a really exciting retrograde because it is taking place during an upcoming solar eclipse in the sign of Aries, along with a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus that is taking place this month. I want to show you five things about this Mercury retrograde that make it really special. I can't recall the last time that I looked at a Mercury retrograde and saw the arc of the retrograde as more integral to an understanding of both of other transits happening in the month. And these are arguably two of the biggest transits of 2024 in a solar eclipse and then shortly after a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So that's what we're going to do today. Before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments and reflections. I'd love to hear from you guys, especially if you have a good story to share. Use the hashtag grabbed or email us your story, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. We aggregate those stories and occasionally do storytelling episodes. You can always find transcripts of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. And I want to take you over there. The promotions for the day are very simple. We are promoting the upcoming live talk that I'm doing in April on Uranus and love. You can see that here. It's April 18th, 7 to 9 p.m. Cost is $20 to register. You get a link to join the webinar. If you can't make it, we send you the recording so you can watch it later. If you missed it, we did Neptune in love and Pluto in love in February and March. Taking a look at the outer planet significations in the natal chart or by transit when they show up in love, sex, and relationships. Uranus is one of the more exciting and eccentric planets that shows up in our relationships. And so it's a really good one to understand and especially to understand how to work with. So that's what we'll be talking about in this upcoming series. The other thing I want to point you to on the courses page, first year program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, starts again June 16th, new cohort. And so you are welcome to register now. Enrollment is open. At the bottom, you'll find a payment plan, early bird payment, and need-based tuition. If you need a little help to make it happen, be sure to check that option out. I'll be doing more robust discussions of what the program includes and stuff like that in upcoming promotions. Just kind of a sneak preview for now since we're just opening enrollment, but be sure to check that out if you're interested in studying with us. The other thing I want to mention is Ashley's herbal program, skyhouseherbs.com. The Herbal Foundation's apprenticeship begins April 24th. You can learn more about that program on the website, skyhouseherbs.com. If you scroll down, we also have need-based tuition assistance available for people. We want to make sure no one's ever priced out of our programs. We believe that, you know, sacred topics like herbs and astrology ought to be, you know, financially approachable. So anyway, on that note, if you stick around after today's talk, you will find an interview that I did with Ashley, which I've been posting at the end of the videos to discuss the program and what it includes. So after the content, if you feel like sticking around, check that out. You can learn more about Ashley and her work in the meantime at Skyhouse Herbs on YouTube, where she releases weekly videos on plant spirit medicine. So anyway, and I'll probably be having her on to discuss the program again at some point, maybe break down some valuable herbs for us during the Jupiter-Uranus eclipse season stuff. That might be fun. So we'll see about doing that. Anyway, so today we're going to look at this Mercury retrograde in Aries that's coming up. It is very powerful. It is not your typical retrograde. Any retrograde can have unique signatures based on what's happening around it. So no two retrogrades are the same. And any generic interpretations of Mercury retrogrades, like don't buy this or don't fly or blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's some ways in which those things are sort of universally applicable. But most of the time, we miss the mark if all of our Mercury retrograde interpretations sound the same, because every cycle is different based on dignities, based on context, based on aspects, based on whatever else is happening in the sky at the time. Let's take a look at what's happening. And I'm going to give you five things that are happening that make this really, really potent. So here we have Mercury stationing on April 1st. And that's why we're looking at it here at the start of the week. So we've got Mercury turning retrograde. If I fast forward this, you'll see the S underneath the Mercury turns red April 2nd. And then by the 3rd, it's retrograde. You could do this by the hour if you wanted to break down the exact hour at which the retrograde motion begins, according to the ephemeris here on my program, which is, you know, about evening time, April 2nd. So it's like today into tomorrow that Mercury is stationing and turning retrograde. When a planet stations and turns retrograde, it slows down, halts, doesn't move. That's often when you'll see the things like delays, setbacks, unexpected quirks that come up, because all of a sudden it's like the planet is turning around. And so reversals of circumstance become expressive of the planet shifting symbolically. Now, that is a symbolic shift for us. We're not idiots. We understand that it's a figurative, symbolic way of looking at the sky. That's our language, though. So here's the five features that you really ought to pay attention to. And we're going to be like detectives. So first, Mercury stations in Mars's sign, Aries, and in the bound of Saturn. The last degrees of Aries belong to Saturn, which means that Mercury is beholden to Mars and Saturn. Why is that significant? Because look at what is happening at the time of Mercury's retrograde. We have Mars and Saturn coming together in a conjunction in the sign of Pisces. Now, Mars-Saturn conjunctions on their own, people often misunderstand. I mean, first of all, Mars coming together with Saturn can bring up things like, you know, trying to press the gas pedal and the brake pedal at the same time. There's a way in which you want to move forward, but there's limitations and obstacles that you have to overcome. And so you need perseverance and tact. If you're too reactive and you're too Marsy, Saturn will clip your wings and sort of force you to become more mature and wise in the way that you try to move forward, because Saturn acts as something, you know, prohibiting or inhibiting. And so Mars Saturn has to do with mature use of will, discipline, effort, perseverance, struggle, maturity in the use of force and energy. On the other hand, it can just come up as something that's thwarting the will, as someone that's trying to block you or limit you, and you have to persevere and be careful with how you work around that. On the other hand, the combination of the two is like the martial arts: stoic, disciplined, wise, mature, and very strong. So there's lots of positive things to like about Mars and Saturn, but here's what I can't help but notice. You have a bunch of planets in Aries, the sun crossing the north node in Aries, about to form a solar eclipse in Aries. And what that means is that there's something that wants to press the gas pedal. Like, let's go. Aries is about starting things. It is the sign of initiation and initiating activity, in other words. It is the sign of starting things, of spring. The light takes over from the darkness and the story of the solar year, and it is all systems go. But right here at the outset of this solar eclipse, we have Mercury retrograde, which can really be about a process of revision and of our efforts to move forward in the sign of Aries, hence being limited or temporarily set back or frustrated or delayed, or there's certain things we have to account for that act as like temporary obstacles to the kind of free freedom seeking and energetic expression of willpower that Aries loves. So it's very significant that Mercury is turning retrograde in Aries right before a solar eclipse in Aries, but in the bound of Saturn and in the sign of Mars, who are coming together in a conjunction, which is about the development of a more mature use of will and force, often facilitated by challenging, frustrating, limiting circumstances that we have to work with or through wisely. Okay, so that's number one. And you see how important those details are to understanding what the Mercury retrograde is about. Well, number two, at the time of the eclipse, we're going to fast forward to April 8th. And on April 8th, we have the solar eclipse in Aries. It's happening at about 19 degrees of Aries. So here we are. And we are going to look at this because at the time of the eclipse in Aries, which is conjoined with Chiron in Aries as well, and if there's any, you know, reiteration of the idea that this eclipse could be about starting something but having to mature and grow wiser and heal wounds that might be related to impulsiveness or the mature use of willpower, well, Chiron at the heart of the eclipse could be signifying kind of the same idea, right? But it's interesting that at the time of the eclipse, Mercury retrograde is now still in the domicile of Mars and Aries, but now is in the bound of Mars, right? And so now Mars has even more power over Mercury. And what is Mars doing? At that time, within 1 degree of hitting the wall of Saturn. Do you see how it's starting to flavor what kind of retrograde we're getting? We're getting a retrograde that's teaching us about the maturation of willpower, force, effort, determination, perseverance, courage, wisdom. This is the need to heal the way we use Mars and to face a more mature, the factors that are frustrating or limiting us are here to help us grow. That's the important piece about this retrograde. Then number three, Mercury Kazemi happens in Mars's bound just after Mars separates from Saturn. So watch what happens when we take it forward to the Kazemi moment. Kazemi is the reset for Mercury at the heart of the sun, resetting in its synodic cycle and going from a kind of state of challenge and breakdown or things kind of falling apart to rebirth and reinvigoration as Mercury will start to rise as the morning star. So it's a rebirth process. At the time of that Mercury Kazemi, which is happening on April 11th, Mercury happens in Mars's bound. The Kazemi happens while still in Mars's domicile and Mars's bound, conjoined with the exaltation ruler of Aries, the sun. And what is Mars and Saturn doing now at the Kazemi moment, the rebirth moment? Mars is separating from Saturn. So we see another signature of recovery. Ah, now we've grown. We're a little bit wiser. We're starting to pass through whatever impediment came up. You see how it's telling a story? It's fantastic. So by April 11th, the frustrations or the development of a more mature Mars signaled by this retrograde is starting to, resolve itself. Now, number four, Mercury will then conjoin Chiron, who was at the heart of that eclipse around April 15th. And it does this just as Mercury enters its own bound. So now Mercury is recovering, starting to gradually emerge from under the beams of the sun, has gotten the Kazemi reset. Its ruler Mars is separated from Saturn. Everything's getting a little bit better. And then it conjoins Chiron in its own bound, as though some healing moment of synthesis has been achieved. And it may be a little bit of a reiteration and starting to understand and grasp what some of the healing of this cycle has been about. An exciting place to move forward from. And then number five, Mercury will then conjoin Venus. This is exciting. So we have that Mercury-Venus conjunction between April 18th and 19th, and it's in Mercury's bound. So Mercury retrograde then conjoins with benefic Venus. And just after that happens, Jupiter will conjoin Uranus in Venus's sign. So then we see the recovering Mercury in a conjunction with Venus, right? As Venus, the host of Jupiter-Uranus, creates that spectacular breakthrough that we've been talking about. Isn't that just beautiful? So this Mercury retrograde is tied into a really critical little alchemical process that's going on this month that includes both the eclipse and the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And then Mercury will turn direct. And Mercury's turn direct happens about April 24th to the 26th. Right around that time, Mercury stations turns direct. And what happens? Jupiter just separates from Uranus. So we have the profound breakthrough that has an overall benefic feeling behind it, synced up with Mercury improving in its dignity, appearing as the morning star, going through a conjunction with Chiron, who is at the heart of the eclipse, turning direct with the North Node just after Jupiter separates from Uranus. And in the mix of that, Mercury also conjoins benefic Venus. What a story, right? So you can't, this Mercury retrograde is absolutely like right at the heart of this alchemical healing process that's taking place. If the solar eclipse in Aries excites you because you're thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm going to press the gas pedal. And that's how you should feel with the solar eclipse in Aries, with the North Node. You should be thinking the evolutionary direction of my soul that is most appealing, that is most exciting, is just raring to go. And I'm ready to take off. And there's some history behind this. So the eagerness with which we want to assert ourselves and move in the bold pioneering direction of Aries, right, that Aries constitutes, it's super exciting. However, the Mercury retrograde that's depicted right alongside and through this eclipse portal, and then as the month develops into the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, is suggesting for us that there's going to be a little testing of things are going to come up that are going to test us to refine, mature, persevere, and deal with like a little vortex of limitation, restriction, frustration. But then once we do, and we've really listened to what's coming up, especially with a kind of emotional sensitivity, remember Mars and Saturn are conjoining in Pisces, and we're able to reflect and refine what we're trying to do, we're being a little bit more mature and patient. The retrograde in Aries signals that that's exactly what we have to cope with this month. Then the Jupiter-Uranus dynamic comes, Mercury rises as the morning star, we'll get where we're going. But there's a little patience involved. And if you look carefully at all those details, Mercury retrograde is laying it all out for us. Beautiful combination of events this month, made a lot clearer by just examining what Mercury retrograde is doing at the same time. So anyway, I hope you guys found that interesting. I'll leave it there for today and just kind of can feel, I'm so excited about this. I think I've got the enthusiasm of this energy coming through me on some level. So anyway, stick around after I sign off if you want to hear more about the upcoming Herbal Apprenticeship Program. Starts at the end of April. I'll be interviewing Ashley to help you understand more of what that program entails. All right, that's it for today. Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for sticking around. I'm really happy to be joined by my wife, Ashley, who is an herbalist. Hi, Ashley.
Hey.
And yeah, I'm really excited to be helping Ashley promote her upcoming program, which is something that you actually began teaching many years ago, this herbal apprenticeship program. I think it was, 2011 or 12 that it got started, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been over 10 years I've been offering this course, and yeah, it's my favorite thing to teach.
Yeah. And just to be clear, because some people on my channel, most people know you because you pop on here or there. We talk about herbs and astrology. There's an attraction in our marriage and an attraction in the subject matter that is old. Like we've been together for, 14 years in our relationship going on. And we've always had a fascination with each other's areas of expertise. And we've done lots of things to marry them together over the years, in addition to literally getting married. And and actually, herbalists and astrologers have married the subjects of herbs and planets together for thousands of years as well. Now, your program is focused on, herbalism. It's not an astrology course, but there is certainly a lot of overlap in terms of the energetics and the spiritual approach to herbalism that you take. And so I was hoping that we could start off just by telling people a little bit about the program. You're coming to this after taking a little bit of time on maternity leave. Our kids were not yet in school. Now they are. You're coming back to work. This is really exciting. The new program launches at the end of April. I'm going to put it up on the screen so people can see it. You can find it at skyhouseherbs.com. Enrollment is open now. The course begins. You go under Courses, Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship at the end of April. Tell us about it.
Well, this course, I guess my goal in redesigning the apprenticeship course that I've been teaching for 10 years is to make it even more personal and to allow people to study the material, digest it at their own pace. So what it's going to be is a combination of kind of three main parts. The first one is the recorded material. So there's going to be modules that will be released and people can listen to them as they, as they have time. The second part are live classes where we will meet live on Zoom and talk about the module, I'll answer questions, I'll give even more information about it. And then the third part is the sacred plant pairings. And so I've always taught the herbal portion, like the plant diets, one at a time, but this year I'm going to do it in pairs because I think you can learn a lot by comparing and contrasting herbs. So for every module, you'll have two herbs to study and you'll get a little cheat sheet about them before you start the module. And then you'll have an opportunity to work with those two plants and blend them and keep them separate and just really work with them closely. Because my goal is that I want people to be able to find information that they can really use in their own lives, maybe with clients, whether they have a professional herbal practice or maybe they're a therapist in a different field, that they'll know these plants so that they can work with them really comfortably.
I love the different modules that you have, just so we can preview them for people. Module one is Vitalism and the Heart of Herbalism. Module two, Building Your Home Apothecary. They're so diverse. I love module three is my favorite, Plant Spirit Medicine, Energetics and Chemistry. You have such a holistic approach. It's what I've always loved about your teaching. You'll teach about the doctrine of signatures. You'll talk to people about how to communicate with plants, how to think of them as teachers that are living beings, that have personalities that aren't just, phytochemistry or whatever. But you will also teach phytochemistry. And I think that you have this really well-rounded way of helping people be intelligent about the plants, about the body, about the systems of the body, but also not afraid to use energetic systems, not afraid to take something from the kinds of energetics that ancient mystics were working with, whether that's the elements or whether that's, some of the overlay with things like Ayurveda, Chinese medicine. You take what's useful on a symbolic and energetic plane and on a personal connection level with the plants, and you marry it to really smart scientific research. I think that's rare. You don't see that a lot.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, to me, it's all language. They're just different languages that we talk about the same thing. And I think the more diverse our languages as herbalists, the more we can reach more people. And that's kind of my goal. Like, I want everyone to like be able to identify plants, use plants. So we need to diversify the languages we speak. So we can talk with our physicians. So we can talk with a therapist. We can talk with a mystic, right? We can talk with children. And we have a language that everyone can use.
You talk in the program, in your modules, you have stuff on digestive and gut health. You have stuff on detoxification, colds and flus, and, you know, dealing with virus seasons. You talk about tissue states, and you're talking about how to give things to your kids for, you know, helping them maybe at times even relax before bed at night. We use a lot of different things with our kids. I love this, that you have called this a, I'm going to find the phrase where you use that you use, and I'm going to mess it up. A community herbalist. What is a community herbalist, so that people can understand that definition? Because sometimes people might look at a course like this and think, gosh, unless I go to an accredited university for, you know, 8 years and learn all about chemistry, I have no right or business suggesting herbs to people or using herbs. That's just not true. And that's not the history of how folk herbal medicine has been used or taught. So what do you mean when you say community herbalist?
I think you said it perfectly. This is the people's medicine, and our grandmothers and great grandparents used plants as medicine. There's nothing actually that like hard about the practice of herbal medicine. It's just getting to know the plants and getting to know the times when they're most useful. I really envision that this course, people can take it and yes, use it for themselves, number one, because I think a lot changes when we have the personal experience, and then using it in your family, whether that's just, you know, maybe making a tea for your dog, or, you know, if you have kids, or maybe you just have a partner, maybe you have plants you can use, and we'll talk about taking care of a garden, but using it for yourself, for whoever's immediately around you, and then taking it beyond that, because it's likely that at some point, you're going to be talking with someone. They're going to say, oh, you know, I've got this digestion thing and I've tried this and this. And they might say, hey, you're studying herbs. Is there anything that you would recommend? And you know what? You'll probably have a few ideas. And that, you know, you never know how one way that you help someone out there in the world might trickle and then help others and more people. So I think through the self-knowledge and studying this knowledge in your own body, it'll naturally, it's like, you know, impossible for it not to spread out and start to affect the broader community.
Yeah, I think that's really important. This is also for that reason, because we have a vision. I mean, you guys know through my Kickstarter, you guys helped us build a community herbal medicine garden that Ashley's been hosting free and donation-based events out of, that the donations go back to right back into the garden and just growing the medicine that we then find ways of harvesting and giving to other people or letting other people come and harvest. We have a vision, we always have, back to the days when we had our yoga studio in Maryland, we have always had a vision of making this sacred knowledge accessible to people. And that is both there in this program in terms of the way you're framing what it means to be an herbalist. It might mean that you're a professional and you see clients and you could continue beyond this program developing the skills to do that. This would certainly set you up for success. You could also go forward and be someone who uses what you know with friends and family and yourself. And that's an incredible set of tools to have. The program's also very accessible from both a programming standpoint and a price standpoint. I'll take you back over and show everybody. The programs, the modules are pre-recorded, but then you meet outside of the modules for discussion, community, Q&A, and sort of development and integration. So people can attend those live. If they miss those integration sessions, they can also watch the replays of those. So
absolutely, yeah.
Anyone could take this at their own rate, you know, as slowly or as quickly as you wanted to, really soak it in, or blaze through it. And, you know, and then we can certainly, beyond this program, as Ashley perhaps makes more advanced programs available as she's easing back in out of maternity leave, can help you with further development or recommend you to many other wonderful programs where you can continue your studies. We want this to be accessible. We want community herbalism to be, you know, as simple as being able to show a friend a couple of yoga stretches. We should be able to show each other herbs, you know, and just hey, this is a helpful herb to use. Also, accessibility price-wise, we have an early bird enrollment and we have a standard enrollment. And then we have tuition level one assistance and tuition assistance level two, which break out the affordable tuition into different levels of affordability. And you can kind of identify where you're at if you're someone who wants to take this program, but needs to work within your means and not hurt yourself doing it. And then for those who can pay, we ask that you use standard or early bird enrollment. And that's the same thing I do for all my astrology programs. So we try to keep it super, super accessible. The Herbal Apprenticeship Program starts April 24th. I know Ashley's super excited to be getting back into teaching too. I also would like to offer Ashley just a chance to tell everyone a little bit about, before we end here this interview, tell everyone maybe a little bit about your own background, who you studied with, what your influences are, and just anything else you want to say before we cap it off.
Ooh, okay. well, I think, you know, I started off as a kid playing in the woods, mixing perfumes and potions. And then I went on to study environmental science, where I studied organic chemistry and restoring native wetlands. And really from an environmental perspective, that's how I got into herbalism. And then after, you know, I realized after working on the restoration piece and joining a lot of earth advocacy groups that the problem's not with the earth, but with the people not mm-hmm. understanding the value of the earth. So then I started going into holistic medicine. I graduated from University of North Carolina, Asheville with a degree in interdisciplinary studies. And I went on to get my, that was my undergrad. And then I got my master's from the Maryland University of Integrative Health. It was then called Thai Sophia. But my teachers there, you know, I had such a great blend of teachers, really scientific minds, like Simon Mills from the UK and Kevin Spellman, who is like a chemistry genius, who's also an Ayurvedic practitioner, studied with Dr. Vasant Lad. Matthew Prisco, medicine maker from Galen's Way out in California. So I had a really wonderful, diverse variety of teachers in that 3-year full-time master's level program. And then after that, I went on to study with Matthew Wood pretty intensively because I liked his energetics. I liked the way he spoke about the plants and his personal experience working with low dose, drop dose medicine. And he has had amazing, he's done such amazing work herbally with just using that method. And I've got a lot of herbalists in my basket.
David Duke comes to mind.
Jim Duke, Margie Flint, Rosemary Gladstar is like, I've only done one herb walk with her, but it was amazing. So, you know, I have shelves of herbal books and people who I just adore. Yeah. And yeah, I just feel really grateful that I've had that blend of the science and the energetic herbalism and the traditional herbalist perspective as well. And I try my best to blend them together and to give everyone a really diverse yet integrated herbal studying experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that. That is exactly what you'll get if you sign up for Ashley's program, which I encourage you to do. If this is the kind of thing that interests you, you won't regret it. It's a fantastic course with someone I absolutely love, obviously, but also like a really, truly fantastic human being and teacher of plant medicine. And if you want to learn more about her, see her work, get to know her a little bit, check out her YouTube channel, Skyhouse Herbs, where she publishes weekly on plant medicine, plant energetics, and also on Instagram, which is Skyhouse Herbs. So the apprenticeship program starts April 24th. I wanted to get Ashley on, brag about her program, turn you guys on to it. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm sure that we're going to see some people from the Nightlight astrology world getting introduced to you and all of your magic.
I would love that. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.